We are now going to take a look at the subject for today, which is expect the unexpected. How come so unexpected? Well, almost everything from Easter to Pentecost was unexpected. And we'll look at that in a moment. But first, let's take a recap on what happened a couple of weeks ago when Dave Hewitt was preaching on the 40 days from Easter to Ascension. And in that talk, he said that the significance and purpose of Jesus' appearances was, first of all, to convince his disciples that he was really alive. Secondly, to continue to teach them the true meaning of the kingdom. Thirdly, to prepare them for a new relationship with him. And fourthly, to equip them for their mission. Very concise and very appropriate to that period. But we're doing something from a slightly different angle today, because we're going to look at how they responded to the unexpected. Because of all the periods in the life of Jesus through to Pentecost and indeed afterwards, unexpected is how you can really refer to this. Let's have a look at some of the unexpected things that happened. We think of the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, with all the waving of palms and all the cheering that went on, and the disciples must have been thinking then, oh good, he's going to take over Jerusalem, Israel, the world. This is really great. But looking at the Bible accounts for the 4 days after Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry, things started going a little bit haywire, and the disciples grew increasingly nervous when the cheering stopped. It wasn't just what was happening around the temple area and so on with people generally, but it was how the Jewish leaders were rising up and locking hands. I thought I pressed the button then. It's the first time I'm using this, but fortunately I didn't. And it got really, really nervous from straight after Palm Sunday right through till the Thursday. But then, of course, it all came to, for the disciples, a very unexpected climax, the crucifixion. The past 3 years, Jesus had been with them all the time, and they were looking forward to his kingdom coming, and all of a sudden they killed him. It's all over. One of the most significant little clips from the account of that time is when you had the Emmaus Road disciples who were going home so sad in the evening, saying, we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And you can imagine that must encapsulate the thought of all Jesus' disciples at that time. We had hoped. What's happened? What's going on? But then you had something quite odd. The resurrection. Jesus was around. And apart from leading the Emmaus Road disciples to say and think about these things, so what's happening now? Is Jesus back with us? But in a sense, he was back with us, but he used to come and go unexpectedly. He'd walk through the door, and then a bit later, he'd just appear, ponk, in the middle of the room in front of them. What is going on? And we have two experiences of doubt, in inverted commas, in this period. And I don't think they were intellectual doubt, because they didn't worry too much about intellectual doubt in those days, nor these days, I hope. Now we're in a postmodern era. Thomas is the one who I don't think doubted, but we call him Doubting Thomas, don't we? But he was the one who said, unless, because he was the one who was left out. And I think he looks like the only one who was left out when Jesus started appearing. Now, if you were Thomas, what would you think about it, that you were the only one left out? And it was a week or so until Jesus came and Thomas was there with them. And Thomas said, "Unless I see and feel and touch, I will not believe." That to me is not doubt, it's temper. Well, wouldn't you feel like that? If you were Thomas and you'd been the only one left out, what would you feel like? How unexpected could that be? And then also, we heard it in our Bible reading, Jesus led them up to the mountain in Galilee and he appeared there before them, and it said, "But some doubted." Three little words. Do you remember hearing those being read? People don't use it often in their Bible reading days, "but some doubted." And when I look around at the context and everything, again, it doesn't seem to me to be intellectual doubt. It seems to me the sort of doubt that says, "What on earth is going on? Why does he keep coming and going? Why doesn't he get on with the job? He doesn't even tell us what's happening. He just comes and goes and says, 'Here I am, here's a few things to learn.' Off he goes again." So there was this kind of doubt that was going on. But amongst all those things, they were putting together the ideas that they've been really building up for the last 3 years. Well, didn't Jesus come to re-establish the kingdom of God here on this earth, now and forever? And they asked him the question, it's recorded in the beginning of Acts chapter 1, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" In other words, are you going to put the Old Testament back in the place it belongs? Look, we've had these Romans who have been invading us, and really the Roman Empire runs this place now. We don't run it anymore. That's not what God seems to have told us in the Old Testament. What's going on? Are you going to actually restore the kingdom to Israel now? Because thank you very much, we've had enough of being taken over. We don't want to be anymore. And Jesus replied, and how puzzling a reply it must have been, "It is not for you to know the times or dates. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Now, that's encouraging, isn't it? But first of all, it says, well, I'm not going to tell you the time or the date, but something's going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes on you, whatever that means. What does that mean? Because remember, the disciples were used to the Old Testament, and the references of the Holy Spirit possessing people in the Old Testament were very just here and there. The Holy Spirit came upon this person and that person, maybe for their life, maybe just for saying something, maybe for writing something. Well, we don't know. What do you mean? You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Very strange. And then, at the end of this period, we have the ascension. We have no advance warning of what would happen in terms of, "I'm going to go up into the sky one of these days," or when. The lovely expression that Luke writes in Acts 1 verse 10 is that they were looking intently into the sky. And the Greek word for the looking intently means gazing. Can you imagine? Why didn't Jesus tell them? Now, if anybody was going to write down that Jesus had told them the detail about these things, if Jesus did do, it would have been Luke, who wrote Luke's Gospel and who wrote Acts. Now, Luke was a historian, and he took so much time and trouble finding out from the witnesses the exact detail of what had happened. If Jesus had given them any more detail about it, he would have recorded it. So we have to conclude that Jesus didn't give them any detail about all the things we've been looking at, including the ascension. Strange. But then that's not the end of it. 10 days after the ascension, the Holy Spirit came as promised, but again there was no advance information on when or how this would happen. All being well in 2 weeks' time, it's Pentecost, and 2 weeks' time after that, I'm due to be back again for a service. And if that happens okay, then we should be looking a bit more at the Holy Spirit. But no advance information on what would happen. So if you place yourself where the disciples were at the moment, how did they respond after the ascension to the unexpected? And what's more important as a question, how should we respond to this sense of expectancy, but often a sense of the unexpected happening, particularly with the Holy Spirit and how he comes? And we see in the passage that we've been looking at, mainly the one in Acts and Luke, we see four different things. First of all, they praised God, and they stayed continually in the temple praising God. And I thought that was pretty good after to such an experience as that. They kept going back and back and back to the temple to praise God. And I often think that one of the best ways to pray is to praise God in advance for answering the prayer, if you see what I mean. And I think that was part of the praise that was going on. Say, we've no idea what's going on, but we're praising you, God, because something really significant is happening here. Firstly, they praised him. And secondly, they prayed. And I love, we're now going slightly after the ascension, where they go back and for the next 10 days, we read in Acts 1:14, and this is such a significant verse, because you need to stop at each word almost. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, this wasn't just having a Friday evening prayer meeting for an hour and then going home. No, it wasn't just having a short period of prayer during the service or whatever it was. They all, not some of them, but all of the disciples, quite a lot of them coming along then, they all joined together. Now, as Jesus had said, we need to pray individually, but in these 10 days, they were focusing on joining together, all of them, to pray. And it wasn't just here and there or an hour or so a day. It was constantly, all the time, in prayer. People were in the house room, whatever it was they were doing it in, coming and going and coming and going, and it was happening for this 10 days. And it wasn't just the disciples, but it was, you can, if you're not being so polite about it, say their retinue. No, it was the people who they were so very careful of as disciples to keep alongside them and with them, along with the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, bless her, she was still there, and with his brothers. So they praised and they prayed. And thirdly, what did they do? Well, they had not got much option, really. They stayed and waited. Jesus didn't tell them what to do. So they had to do those two really important things when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. Even though Jesus hadn't described it to them, they stayed. Jesus said, hang on, just don't do anything for the moment, because if you try to without the Holy Spirit, it won't work. He just didn't say it in as many words. And they waited. Staying is just being staying put. Waiting is anticipation. Either way, they were at the right place at the right time. So they praised God, they prayed, they stayed and waited, and then what happened? They were filled with the Holy Spirit in a way that they would never seem to have been anticipating, quite suddenly. And this, to me, is the climax of expecting the unexpected. So the conclusion for us is at this time, particularly before Pentecost, and certainly it can go on afterwards, let's praise God. as a good way of praying, apart from anything else. Let's pray all together constantly right through to this really important period. Let's wait, because something's going to happen. And let us expect the unexpected. Because they got used during this period before ascension to expecting the unexpected. And when the Holy Spirit comes on us, boy, you get the unexpected. I've had in my life, and I hope to be able to describe this a bit later in several weeks' time, two significant experiences of the Holy Spirit. The first time, when I was 20, I didn't realise that's what it was, but the result was that I went to Cliff College, the Methodist Bible College, which is an evangelical and charismatic Bible college, which was not popular in the Methodist Church at those times. But it went on, and it was one of the biggest experiences, and it led to a whole load of things, including me being here. The second time was much later, in about the year 2000, when the result of that was that I was lost for words, and the Holy Spirit took words out of my mouth, and I couldn't make my services go on more than about 40 or 45 minutes, whereas it usually was an hour or an hour and 10 minutes. Oh, you'd love that, wouldn't you? And it was months before I could get back. And there was the reason for that. So the unexpected happens. And that's how it's going to be for us and for anybody who says yes to Jesus in these coming days, in this important period.